Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. This is Derek Oliver from Chaos Talks Presents D&K Bible Break. I just want to say good evening to everyone that's listening, to all those that's listening on the internet, and all those that called in on the phone line. Internet, www.blogtalkradio. Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. The link you go to on the internet. If you're on the phone, feel free to call in at 845-277-9094. We got another good show tonight. Me and my lovely wife, Ms. Kay. Good evening, Kay.
Good evening.
And
so happy to be back.
Yes, we are happy to be back. Another successful week and another day that we woke up in our right frame of mind. So we want to give the Lord all credit for that. Also,
Amen.
I want to thank my sponsors, Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Pepsi, Brentwood Publishing, and Finish Line. Just want to send them a shout-out. Thank you. All the shows that come on all week long, I'm going to get to all of those. At the end, it's just too many to name right now. But everyone that's on Chaos Talk Radio, I just want to send a special thanks to all the shows, Monday through Sunday. Just say shout out to everybody. Again, we're going to do another third week in a row on Thursday. The only thing I'm going to promote tonight is I Got a Word. We have four preachers coming in on Thursday, and they will have a word for you. I like to call it like it's not a competition, but they're all going to get 6 to 7 minutes to bring forth a word. It's been real exciting. Last Thursday, we had the women, and we had over 4,000 listeners, and I got a report that two people got saved, and one rededicated their life back to the Lord. So that was good. I got a word on Thursday, and that's at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we're going to be discussing, speaking of the church and people being saved and all of that, we're going to talk about, because I know this week, me and my wife discussed it. She went back to church this week. It was the first time, I'm going to say in almost 2 months, give or take a week or so. And we're going to talk about social distancing in general, and then social distancing just in church, period. Me personally, since we started, I didn't like it at first. But as the weeks went on, I enjoyed it more and more and more. I like having church from home. I enjoy not being in a building with a group of people. It's just my preference, and I get into that a little bit later. We just want to talk about how do you feel about the new normal of social distancing in church. So, you know, I'm going to ask Kay, What do you think? How was your first week back at church?
Well, I was happy to be back at church, first of all. And I don't mind the social distancing to a certain extent. I'm a hugger, so when I go to church and I see one of my sisters, whatever, I want to give them a hug. I want to say, hey, what's up, and give them a hug. And that's my embrace to them, and that's like a normal reaction for me. So yesterday it was a little different. You know, everybody had their mask on. Everybody was spaced apart. So we were, I don't know if it was exactly 6 feet apart, but we were all spaced. And I felt like, I don't know, I didn't like the feel of it, only because I am that up-close personal type of person. I don't like the far apartness, and it just felt distant for me. I enjoyed being at, but it just felt distant for me.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but when you say it felt different, you mean it from compared to what you went to church yesterday, compared to when you what you used to go to church with, what was the difference?
No, I said distant, like the distance of it.
Distant.
I'm not.
Oh, distant.
Yeah, distant. The space between me and my neighbor, and you know we don't have the part where you hug your neighbor, you know we don't do any of that, and everybody got on masks. I didn't wear my mask. I had it with me. It was hot. We had service outside, and it was like, 90-something degrees. I was hot, and the sun was beaming down, and we had umbrellas, but it was still hot. So because we were so far apart, I just didn't put my mask on. I mean, I wasn't in anybody's face. I wasn't yelling or anything like that. I just missed the – it was a different, like, distant kind of situation for me.
At the end
of the day, I still felt the presence of the Lord, and at the end of the day, I still praised the Lord during service. It was just, it wasn't that closeness. So that's something that I'm going to have to get used to. I'm not a fan of that part.
So do you think that, and I'm just asking your opinion, and it's just your opinion, moving forward, do you think this is going to be the way churches operate moving forward?
For now, I'm going to say yes. Come October, November, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I can see church being this way for the rest of the summer. Even a lot of churches not even opening up right now. So I can see it going this way, but some people are like, I'm not wearing a mask. Are you sick? I'm not sick. You're not sick. We good. So, but it was still, I had one person give me a hug and she was like, oh, I forgot we're not supposed to do that. And that's my kid's grandmother's great-grandmother. She was there. So I don't know. I think it will be like this for a minute. And I've seen a lot of different ways that churches are doing things as far as being in guidelines with the CDC. So I do see them doing a lot of different things. I've seen one, they have reservations. You can make a reservation to come to church. And some
right.
have to turn
yeah.
people away because they met capacity. So it's a little different.
So with
we didn't have
the
temperature check though.
Well, yeah,
some
I
have temperature checks where you can't even go in until you get your temperature check. We didn't have that part, and I'm guessing because we were outside, so we didn't have the full extent of maybe what it will be like next week when we go indoors.
We're gonna have to. We're gonna be nosy with you and ask you how that process is working out. Now, my next question is with the social distancing is with all this going on and I know the numbers in Georgia, in Gwinnett County, where we live at, the numbers is going up for the coronavirus. Do you feel comfortable going to church? Because me personally, and I'm just going to say this, I'm going to say me personally, and this is just my opinion, I don't feel safe just because of everything my body been through to be around a bunch of people. That's just me. But if you feel safe, then you feel like you want to go. But with this virus going around, do you feel safe to even be around a group of people right now?
You know, I had the question. I had to pray about it because I do live in a household with people who have pre-existing conditions. So I had to pray about it, and I'm like, okay, Lord, am I going just for show, just to show my face, or am I going because I want to I just have a desire to be in the house of the Lord. And it was, I had a desire to be in the house of the Lord. So I prayed about it. And the way I'm looking at it is, I go to the grocery store. Sometimes I go to 2 and 3 grocery stores on a Saturday or on a Tuesday. And it's like, okay, yeah, I got my mask on, but I'm in the grocery store. I'm in there with a lot more people. And I don't move fast in the grocery store. I do every aisle. So I'm just like, okay, if I can do all of that, if I can go there, then why can't I go to service?
Okay. Well, I don't want to get off the subject, but you do go fast in the grocery store. That's why I don't go with you. So that's just that on a side note. But moving forward with the church and everything, now I want to ask, and again, I'm going to bring on another preacher because I want to get his opinion on it in a second. So what I'm seeing, and this is, again, my opinion, on Sundays, because every church has been going online, joining church. And before I give my opinion, I'm going to ask you your opinion. I know you've been watching your church online, but also I've seen you watching other churches online as well. Do you like
and
the
I
fact
love it.
That... Okay, that's what I wanted to ask you.
I love it.
Why do you like
it? Because I can see my pastor from home. I don't get to see my bishop from home. I get to watch his service. I love it. And it's not that I'm church hopping, but it's just, I don't know. I do enjoy the virtual church, online church. I enjoy that as well. And plus, I can get things done around the house. I'm listening to the word, and I could be cooking dinner. So it's like I'm multitasking. So maybe I'm not getting the full effect. I'm not sitting there taking notes like I would do in church. So in a way, it's like, am I really learning something, or am I just enjoying what I'm doing? Did I get the word? Is it sticking with me, or am I just enjoying?
There's been a flag on the plate. When was the last time you listened to church and cooked dinner on a Sunday? You ain't got to answer right now. Just think about it.
You got to.
But anyway.
Well, let me take it. I do my prep. Don't play with me like I don't cook. You got jokes. You do most of the cooking. So my husband does cook, y'all. He does throw down, and he does like doing Sunday dinner. So I don't have to cook all the time. So, but don't make it seem like I don't cook. I do cook. I make my breakfast every Sunday. You know that.
You're going way into the. It was a joke. But what I wanted to ask you, do you feel that when you watch the different churches on the internet, you don't feel guilty like you church hopping?
No, I don't. Because most of the time when I do watch, what I've noticed is that my church will have a word, and then I'll go over, and they're on the same page. So I'm like, okay, Lord, they saying the same thing. They may do it a different way, but the message is the same thing most of the time.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just going to get into it. Watching the different churches on the internet, which I've had the privilege to do for the last 2 months, compared to being in church, I do like it. The church I attend, I just like it. I like the feel of it. And again, with everything going on, it's just comfortable for me. And I was dead against it when we first started. I didn't like it. But now I've come to enjoy it because now I can see, and again, this is my opinion, I ain't trying to cause no trouble or cause no chaos, even though it is chaos does represent D&K Bible Break. But what I'm seeing is, in the very beginning, you saw a lot of preachers not preaching. You just saw them talking and talking and talking. And then here, the last 2 weeks, you really see them preaching. But for a long time, they just was talking, and like they sit behind a desk and they'll talk and talk, and you know, they take their love offering up, and it really wasn't no preaching. So the reason I'm asking the question, do you see a difference? Because I see a difference. When you amongst a big crowd of people, and then the preacher gets up to preach and hoop and holler with all the emotions and everything, and now that there's no crowd to preach to, And then a lot of churches, they take that little, you see how many people they got watching, they take that off now. I don't know how to do it, but I was told by my engineer, you don't have to show the number. They take the number off, so, and it's like, okay, every one of their members got a watch party going on. And it's like, it's for show, it's not for uplifting God's kingdom. At least this is what I'm getting. And I'm not saying I'm just what I see. And I watch a lot of the churches. I watch them, and it's like they're – I ain't saying the preachers are upset because they got to go this way, but it's really starting to show who's in it for real, who's not in it for real. It's just my opinion.
In the beginning, maybe they – when you say they were just sitting and they were teaching and they weren't, doing the normal – way that they would do service. This has been like a paradigm shift. Everybody has to adjust and learn how to do something a different way. So they may have not been used to doing anything in front of the camera, or they had to find their way, but they had to find a way that works for them. Maybe they weren't used to that. And now since they know, oh, this means that these people are watching me, let me turn it up. So on one hand, I can see, oh, maybe you're doing it because you want to draw more people unto you to show, oh, I'm a good pastor or preacher or whatever. And if they're doing it that way, then that's between them and God. But if you're doing it to win souls and draw people to Christ, then I'm all for it. But only God knows what they're doing in their heart. So I just say keep doing what y'all doing. I mean, y'all drawing people from what I'm hearing. You got more people, more eyeballs on you online than you do in a church building. So I say keep going. In the future, hopefully you can do both.
I just wish that I'm just going to say it and just deal with the consequences where they lay. I believe there are some people who are genuine. There are some churches, there are some organizations, pastors, preachers, ministers who are genuine and does this to uplift the kingdom for the Lord, and they take self out of the way. But then you see a lot of people that have self in the way, and it's all about them. And I just noticed that since we've been doing chaos, and we have a few churches on our network, and when other pastors call me and ask me questions, it ain't the typical questions you think the conversation should go. And it's about, well, how can we outdo this and how can we outdo that? How can we get our number up there? That's the question. And the question is, and the only reason chaos does the numbers it does is because we've been doing this since 2009. So there's a mass messages that go out before we even come on the air. And that's how you build your audience. And then they don't know what I'm going to say, even though I'm not the preacher or anything up there. They just come to listen and they just happen to like the programming. But what I'm saying is I just think that this mechanism of the church right now is good. It's really good if you're doing it for the right reason, and it's really bad. And it's just making a lot of preachers look bad. But I want to bring on, I told him I was going to bring him on. I wanted to get his opinion on it. And I wanted to talk to the overseer, Timothy Jackson. He has programs on our network on Friday night and Saturday evening. And Mr. Jackson, I know you've been listening in from the beginning. I just want to know, what's your theory or your opinion on social distancing in the church?
Okay, well, first of all, let's say thank you, Derek Oliver, for having me on tonight. And hello, Ms. Kay. How are you doing?
Good evening. Good, good. Good to hear
good
from
evening.
You.
Yes, ma'am. It's a blessing to be here. So I'm going to say what I got to say real quick, so I don't want to seem like I'm trying to say too much. I kind of talked to some ministers about it and their opinion some weeks ago about how he felt, and just kind of listening to people. This is my own personal opinion. I don't too much like it, and I think the most I guess the scary thing about it is, you know, because I work in a financial institution, so I'm an essential worker, so I still work, is that most people believe that this is going to be the normal way of life. I can see that happening. I actually kind of talked about this many years ago that, you know, we'll become a part-time country. And the social distancing in the church, it kind of goes against the word a little bit, because the word says, fail not to assemble thyself. And so I think about that scripture. That's the first thing I thought about. I say, wait a minute, you can't go to church when the churches were shutting down. And even my wife, she still goes to church because she goes to a family member church of ours. And so, you know, she was just telling me how, you know, how when I said, y'all going back to church? She said, yeah, you got to put on the mask. You got to be like 6 feet apart. They can't even talk to each other after the church. So I was thinking about what Sister Kay was saying, how funny. I'm like, you can't hug. I'm like, that's so anti.
It don't feel,
you know,
right. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I heard it, because I hadn't been to church in years. Of course, y'all know that, and there's a reason for that. But anyway, you know, when I heard about that, I just thought to myself, wow, this is so much. It's convenient, because you don't have, like, you know, I work from home now. So, yeah, it's convenient, but there's something going on. We just don't know. It hasn't been fully revealed, but there's something going on. And I feel, you know, me and my brother's been talking. He's in ministry, in his ministry. And, you know, this is the hand of Lucifer. It is. A lot of people don't want to look at it that way, but it is. There's something going on.
So let me ask you a quick question real quick.
Sure.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I want to ask a question,
okay,
because you brought up something someone said to me earlier, because a lot of people like the social distancing church. They like it. It's going to become more comfortable. But then again,
sure,
you know, as we grew up in the church, and we've all been grew up in the church, you always hugged one another. You always, you know, sometimes you would fall
right
down at the altar with your brother. You know, you would hold hands
right
and pray with him. Now that you take that element out of the church, and this is what I said in the very beginning when I disagreed with, I thought we should have stayed in church. But it was the right decision because,
oh, definitely,
of the virus. I do take a step back for a minute until we get a control of this. But now that we're going back
right
into the church, it's like, okay, we're going to start taking things out. It's like when they took prayer out of the school. You can still pray
right
to yourself on your head, but we're going to take the whole prayer out. And I remember, and the reason I wanted to have this topic today, because my wife shared in a testimony, and she shared with me in personal matters, that one day, we wasn't married, this was a long time ago, that someone hugged her, and she just fell apart. She was needing that, and it helped her.
That human contact, because you don't know what people
right
are going through.
Right.
I needed a hug. Like, I needed to have a human being embrace me. And then I think so many people may be losing out on that right now with all this going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of depression. There's a lot of
right
things going on, and people need that human interaction. We've been isolated for so long, and now we go back to church, and it's like, okay, I still feel a little isolated, even though I'm happy to see you.
Right.
So do you think, and I'm going to let you go, Overseer. So do you feel when that isolation, do you don't feel kind of funny that when you're in the presence of God, that you're really not in the presence, because you can't get the full effect of the Lord, because you can't hug, you can't touch, you can't cry, you can't even cough? Because people
right
don't have that illusion that, oh, that person is sick. Now, and to me, and it didn't come to me until today when I talked to another preacher, and I'm glad Overseer brought what he brought up, because it kind of comes together that, you know, we might be tricked into something. I ain't saying that.
Right.
I'm just putting the possibility out there. Go ahead, Overseer.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I want to share something with you, very prophetic, that a young pastor shared with me way in the early 2000s. This was like almost 20 years ago, he said this. Me and him were talking. And he said, the devil wants to separate people. He actually said this almost 20 years ago. He said, the devil don't want people touching. And he actually touched his hands and touched my hands. He said he don't want us to be able to touch one another and to shake hands and hug. And when this all started going on, that reminded me of what he said, and I was just thinking to myself, this is unbelievable. because he said this almost 20 years ago. He was a young pastor. He was younger than me. And I just thought it was amazing just thinking about what Sister Kay said, what we're doing in the world, what my wife has said, and just thinking about back to that time. I say, you know what, and that's why I say this is the trick of the enemy. Something's up. And we won't know until the future, but it's just funny that he said that, and seeing this happen at this day and time is amazing. Because I didn't think we were going to see any of this. I thought our children or grandchildren was going to get to see this, and now we're seeing it. It's here. And so, hopefully that answers your question. It takes a lot away from service. It takes a lot away from worship. It takes a lot from what I focus on the Lord, because now you're focusing, as you said, is this person sick? Does this person have something? You know, because, you know, most people don't wear a mask. And, you know, so, I know sometimes when I go out in public, I'm guilty if I don't always wear a mask, but I don't go that much. And so, you know, now they're saying that the people who wearing masks may be the one, and you know, people say a lot of different. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, you just never know. But I think it's most spirit driven for the most part. So we also have to pray also, and not be as fearful as much or be as concerned. I'm not saying not to protect yourself. Definitely stay clean as you can. Wash your hands. Practice social distancing, because we know that this thing is real. Because there are people out here passing away somehow, some way. The people are losing their lives. So, apparently this thing is real. So we can't make light of it. But at the same time, the word says that he has not given us the spirit of fear. So I tell my people, I tell my family, don't be so fearful to where, you know, you're just afraid to do anything. Because I still go out and exercise every day. I go out on my own. I walk, run, or whatever. Because I just told myself, well, you know, I'm already in the house because I work. But for the most part, you know, I really feel like this is really a disjustice to the churches. It really is.
Can I ask a question? Like,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so you know how we altar call, and you know we go
right
up to the altar, and we pray, we snot, we do all of that, and.
Right.
Now it's like you can't let loose. You can't
right.
just let the spirit move. You gotta it's like you just gotta be, I don't know, like a, I don't wanna say a robot, but the freedom of the spirit moving doesn't seem like it's there. It's cut off.
Right.
And I don't think that's the way that it should be. But at the
same time
we gotta follow the guidelines of the CDC. So I don't know, like, where do we stand with that?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. The way I'm looking at it, and again, I've changed some of my thoughts about this yesterday to today. And I'm going to say it like this. Do you ever have a cookout for some little kids and you go buy them hamburger patties? You know, you just throw them on there, they're frozen, you just throw them on the grill. And then when the older folks get over a little bit later, you start making them hand patties, and you get real personal with it. You put the love into it. I believe the love has been taken out of the
right.
church, because the thing that you guys are talking about, that's all exhibit love. And whenever you can't touch someone, whenever you can't show affection towards someone, you're taking that love
right.
action out of the church. And one
exactly.
of the things that the Lord tells us to do is love one another. That's how we overcome a lot of things. That's where we get our strength from. We have to show that love.
Right.
If I'm looking at you, I'm looking at Brother Tim, and I'm like, well, I can't get too close, can't give you no dap. But how is that? That's not
right.
what the Lord intended for us to do. And a lot of times when we have people come over to our house, we don't really make them feel welcome because we got to watch them. You know what I'm saying? And then you feel like you're being discriminated against because they was watching everything. They went to the back, they watched everything I do, they watched. Even the food they gave me, it really wasn't from the heart, it was artificial. And I believe that on Sunday, when the churches that did open, I wasn't at none of them. I just feel that everyone got artificially church service, if that's a word.
Right. Well, you know, the scientists used to do an experiment a long time ago with babies. And they did an experiment to find out, you know, how babies would respond if nobody ever touched them, if they just did the basic needs, just feed them and change their diapers. And they found in a short period of time that the babies would die. And again, you know, thinking about this, what's going on in the world, and what my friend said many years ago, is prophetic. You know, this is a way of spiritual death. You know, like you said, there's no love. And I say, you know, I say this to say this. This is, in my opinion, this is the work of the enemy. But something's going on. You know, this is a bigger agenda to say, okay, here's this pandemic. And all of a sudden our world has been flipped upside down overnight. Because I'm like you, Derek. I mean, when this thing first came out, I thought, you know, this is a blow over. This is like the last, what was it, Ebola or something like that. But now, I think they said like we're up to like what, a couple hundred thousand people. That's a lot of people worldwide. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about, you know, one of my friends, when him talked the other week, he said something about it's supposed to be worse this winter. So yeah, you're definitely correct. I totally agree with you. You know, something's not right. It doesn't feel right.
And with saying that, you know, someone just texted me, was wondering about the altar calls and, you know, shaking hands when you're in a car and you're shaking someone's hand or you're giving them a hug through the car. To me, it is still not the same thing. And
right.
I believe that, you know, the Bible is real simple. Either you are or you're not. Either you're going to love him or you're not. Either you're going to trust him or you're
right.
not. There's no middle ground to this. And I understand about the virus and everything, everybody being safe. I agree with that. Stay at home, boom. But when we open up the church door, now that we're going back to church, shouldn't we exhibit some type of power? Shouldn't we exhibit some type of faith
right.
that, you know, we're in God's house, we're protected? Now, I know when I say this, people be like, well, there, you have free, you know, I'm one of the ones, I could get sick. I ain't worried about catching it. I'm worried about catching it from somebody else because of my immune system. But at the same time, when I'm in the house of God, I'm in his presence, whatever
right.
his will is his will. You know, if I'm going to get sick, I'm going to get sick, whether it's the coronavirus or whether it's something else. It doesn't mean because I did something stupid. As long as I'm believing in what I grew up in believing, and it seems like the older I get, the more and more people are trying to take away what we grew up to know was the truth. And that's just my opinion.
Right.
Well, at the same time, it's kind of, you. On the other hand, you know, when this first started, there were people still meeting at the church, and there was like a choir, I believe, that a lot of members died. So it's kind of like a split thing, because it's like, okay, you want to obey the laws of the land. You want to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do. At the same time, you want to just have church. And so
right.
it's like you're in the middle. What do you do? You want to make sure everybody is safe. If you're sick, stay home. If you feel an inkling of sickness, stay home. But this virus, you know, some people, they don't even have symptoms until after the fact. So we just need to be praying at all times. Pray at all times, because you just never know. Because I want to have church. I want to have back old school, back in the day church on your knee. I just want to have church.
Well,
and
let me
like
ask
you can't
question.
Do that.
I just want to ask a question because, you know, I know we're dealing with real life stuff, but how would you feel if you have a bank full of money, but you only got $5 in your pocket, but you got a whole bunch of money in the bank, but you can't get access to it, and they're only going to let you have the $5 worth of stuff that you have, even though you're inside the bank that you could withdraw? What I'm saying is, what you're saying, and I believe, and this is just my opinion, I'm going to put it out here, I just believe everyone needs to have the church, whether you're Baptist, Church of God of Christ, not, I just think we need to have a revival of repentance and trying to get as many souls to save as we can right now and deal
right.
with the aftermath after the math, because I don't know what's going to happen 3-4 months from now. This virus all could have been a hoax. You know, we could have a cure. I don't know. But at the same time, you see all these, everyone is trying to be right, politically correct. I guess that's what I don't like. being politically correct when we have the answers in the 66 books that we have? That's just my opinion. I'm going to leave it alone because I don't want people to think that I'm going against anybody's church or denomination. I don't. Church I attend, they're not in church right now, and I'm in agreement with it just for the simple fact I don't want to see no one get sick. But at the same token, when I do go back to church, and we do go back to church, I don't want to be having to stay 6 feet apart from everybody. I want to go back the same way that I left. I want to go right back in, even more on fire. That's just my opinion.
That's probably not going to happen because in people's minds they're thinking, you're thinking, oh, you coughing, it's already embedded in your mind. Even if you try to ignore
right.
it, it's there.
Exactly.
So it's going to be.
I'm glad you said that because you said in people's mind. Before the coronavirus came, what was people's mindset going into the church? Oh, she just shouting just to be looked. There was always a mindset anyway. Regardless, before the virus, during the virus, and there would be a mindset.
You right.
So that doesn't matter because that mindset has been there. The thing about it is people who went to church, they went there for a reason to get what they wanted to get and went about their business regardless who talked about it. It's going to be the same way. If I go there and I start preaching and I, oh, there he must got some. We can't shake his hand. Now, I will make me feel some type of way. The same way that you felt when you needed that human hug, touch. What about if someone going through what you was going through, but right now they ain't going to get that hug because you crying and you got snot running down your nose. Something wrong with you. So now this is the trick. And like I said, I didn't plan to go here today on this. I had a totally different message. And I talked to one preacher, and then what Timothy said just kind of opened my mind up about some things. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know. And when I don't know, I'm just going to be quiet and let you two talk because I just don't know.
No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I really kind of feel like, you know, this is kind of like what the Bible said, because a lot of people, I just thought about the falling away of the church. And, you know, the Bible only gives just like a brief description, not really much on what that is. And a lot of people believe that the falling away of the church is people who are in the church, meaning saved, choose to walk away from the Holy Spirit or the Heavenly Father or His Son, but that's not what it means. It means less and less people will be more spiritually minded. And what you guys are saying kind of lines up. You know, the mentality and the mindset of people is not on the Most High spiritually, but now you're focused on this virus. Now you focus on what the law says and what the governing authority says instead of your main focus, you know, on the Most High. And I do understand what you were saying, Derek. You say some people, you know, minds is just, you know, you're just going to have people that's in church. Not everybody's going to be 100%. But now those that are, even if they're 25 or 30% or whatever percent they are that are focused on the Lord, now are they really going to be focused on the Lord? And now we have to go attend church online. It just, you know, I'm not in agreement with it. I get it because what's happened. But I feel like this was something that was planned. Again, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of the spirit. So something orchestrated that, which we knew it wasn't our Heavenly Father. So we knew who orchestrated this, and the plan is just being followed out. And so I just can't help but to think about the falling away of the church. You know, this is just a way, again, to separate us as church. You know, because I think about this. What if they take away social media? What if they restrict the internet? Then what you gonna do? You get what I'm saying? I've been thinking about that the whole time. You know, people say, "Well, we can have church online, can we?" Because this is really controlled. They can shut off the internet at any time. They can restrict the internet. And you know, this president we got, you know, I saw something when this all first happened. He was talking about that, restricting them. Like, why would you do that? And so it just makes me wonder. Okay, where are we really going? Something is going on. And, you know, something is happening. We just have to, like you said, we just got to keep praying and keep watching. But there's definitely a plan going on. And, you know, that's why, you know, I like to just say, you know, let's focus on salvation as much as we can. And I talk to people all the time. People are fearful. They're scared. And I tell people, hey, salvation is your key. That's your out. That is your out. Get saved, you know.
Amen.
That's your way out.
Well, you know what? Now that you say that, you know, I got an email today, and I got a meeting tomorrow. Because last Thursday, you know, we've been doing this thing. I got to work, and it's relevant about social media because we was in the prison. And when I went into the prison, it was through a hookup. A friend of mine, because I used to work in the prison, hooked me up with a call in. Well, you know, some people complain. And then, you know, I kind of put it out there on social media that we had 4,000 listeners. And now they're going to try to find Blog Talk, which is trying to find me for being in a place I ain't had no business being. And I just found this out a few minutes ago. So when you say that, you know, you're bringing more stuff to the pot that's making me think about things now, because everyone is on social media, and all you got to do is make a phone call, and you can have access to a bunch of people in the right setting, in nursing homes, hospitals. All you got to do is get put on the internet,
right,
and you have no access. And because we did it in a way that, you know, and if I'm wrong, then the Lord would chastise me and wrong, but however we can get the word out, that's where we get the word out. So if I have to bootleg and get the word out in the community centers and and that's what I'm going to do until someone tells me to stop. But this fine might, you know, they're trying, so I don't know if it's possible. I ain't got no money to pay no fine. But that's what they're trying to do. And it excites me because it's going to make me work even more harder. But I never thought about it if they took social media, Facebook didn't exist, or they start making us pay a fee to be on social media.
Right.
I believe that's what will happen next, because we have too much access all over the place. And all someone got to do is get on Wi-Fi to hear it. And the devil don't want the word going out, so what he's going to do is he's going to poison
it.
And again, and I'm just going to repeat myself over again, just for those who haven't heard, I just believe that part of the church, the love part, is being taken out of the church with the social distancing. Now, you'd asked me this yesterday, and my wife probably thinking them because I explained what I thought.
Yeah, because you were so different yesterday.
Yeah, I was different yesterday.
Different.
But today made me look, and a few people, a few comments here and there make you look at things a little differently. Me personally, I don't like hugging everybody. I don't like getting my clothes, get that smell in my clothes. This is just my personal opinion. A lot of times when the preacher says touch your neighbor, I lose focus. My attention span ain't that long. I need to get in and hear the word of God and go home. I can't be looking at everybody, touching everybody, because this is just me personally, because my attention span is not that long. You know, I'm not ashamed to admit it, but I struggled in school because of my attention span. So when I got to look at somebody, it takes me away from what I come to do. I come to serve the Lord. I come to praise the Lord. I want to get the word and go home. But all that other socializing for me, it distracts me from what I come to do. Now, a lot of people say, oh, how can you be a preacher? I can preach the word of God, give you a high five, give you a hug, and be on about my way. Me looking at you, going to hug my neighbor 8-9 times in a service, touching my neighbor 4 or 5 times in a service, to me, it's a distraction. And my wife is totally opposite. She can focus and she can multitask like that. I can't. When I'm cooking in the kitchen, I can't. I got to have it a certain way. And she would say, if it's not a certain way, I get frustrated. I leave. Because
you don't like nobody in the kitchen, not one person in the kitchen.
It's just me. It's the way I grew up. It was the way that we grew up. It was just, you're in the kitchen, you're cooking, you handling, and that's love. You're putting all your heart. You can't have a bunch of people in the kitchen. Everybody ain't clean. They walk past you, and they got a smell. You never know. And I'm not trying to be gross or anything. That's the way I grew up. Now, being in church and hearing people preach, it's all part of the, and I'm cool with it. But now that I'm thinking about it, and I thought about it, and that was the stance I was going to take, is what I just said. But now that I'm thinking about it, you remove all that love out of it. You're really taking God, you're trying to tie God's hands behind his back. And I can't see that happening. And then, you know, looking to what Brother Tim was saying, you know, it just makes sense to me spiritually that when we're operating on this social distancing, I'm just going to be safe to call it, I think it's taking away some of the power of the Lord away. Just my opinion. Everyone ain't going to agree with it, and that's fine, but it's just my opinion. It's just my opinion. There's a young lady that's on the phone with us, needed a hug. There was many a time when I was young, I was crying at the altar. What's not running down my nose? Tears running down my eyes. You know, coughing, sneezing, whatever we had to do to get that connection with the Lord or forgiveness or deliverance or healing, whatever it is we were doing, that's what we had to do. I'll never forget this, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to let y'all sit there.
Okay.
Huh?
No, go ahead. I have a question when you.
Okay. No, I was just going to say my brother had hurt his shoulder at football practice, and we went to the doctor, and this was years ago. We was in high school, and the doctor told him that his playing days was over with, and that was really one of the first and only times I've seen my brother cry. And I remember at the time we called from the doctor's office, and my dad said, "Well, just meet us. It was on a Wednesday. He said, just meet me at the church. Come to church. We pray for you." And when we went there, you know, my brother was just in tears. He was just hurt. And my dad and the prayer team came, and they was all around him, hugging him, and praying for him at the same time. I can't see that happening today. Anointing his head with oil and praying for him.
Right.
And it was one of those moments that I'll never forget because something happened at that altar that day. Because when he went back to the doctor, the doctor said he can play. He was good. The x-ray he looked at didn't look the same. And the coaches was asking me, well, what did he do? And my brother, he didn't bite his tongue. I went to church, and my daddy prayed for me. And they was asking me. I said, that's what happened. But at the same time, all of that human contact that was around him, the love, the prayers of the saints, to me, that's what the church was missing before the virus. And now that the virus is like the devil then came in and came up with a plan and took it away from us. Go ahead, Kay. What was your question?
Well, I guess it's kind of along the lines of what you're talking about as well. You know, we have different committees in the church, and you have the food ministry. You know, you feed people. I don't see anybody's going to be serving people. You know, you have a celebration, no potlucks, no baptisms. Like, how are you going to baptize somebody? And nobody wants to touch anybody. So it's just a lot of things that just seems like it's going to be, I want to say, hard to change, because I don't see how you can move forward with the love of Christ at church without having that type of interaction. Those are things that you need. We need people to get baptized. We need to feed the hungry. We have to continue. I work with the little kids. Do you think I'm going to have a problem with wiping somebody's child's nose? No, I'm not. These are the things that are – I just don't know how it's going to pan out. So do y'all have any, like, do y'all get an idea of how somebody could come up with a way to proceed other than the way we normally do?
I don't. I mean, I'll be direct.
Go ahead,
Jim. No, you're right. No, I was just saying I don't see it. There's no substitute for, you know, as you all said, you know, touching, you know, hugging, you know, showing love. In fact, you know, love is the core of salvation. And so, you know, you brought up a pretty good point. You know, you and Derek, especially when you said you can't baptize nobody. You know, you can't go to the altar. You can't cry out. You know, you can't in your home. But, you know, can't no one anoint you at all. And so, again,
right.
You know, that's why I kind of say, you know, this was planned. We, you know, those of us who look a little deeper spiritually, this was planned. That's just my belief. That's my opinion. This wasn't just something that just, you know, just happened.
Well,
I mean, we've never heard anything like this.
I'm glad you came on, Tim, because you kind of helped me out a little bit tonight.
Oh,
and
glory
then,
be to the Most High.
You know, I got a text. People want to know, well, what's your beef with the church? But we're going to say that for another show. for some reason,
I'll be more than happy to talk to him about it.
Well, we may have to have you back on Monday because we may want to discuss that a little bit. That seems like that might be right up my alley. But no, I'm serious about that too. So I'm gonna put you on the spot. And since I got you here, I want you to help me advertise your shows tonight. I do want to thank everyone that's been listening and sending me the questions and everything. And Kay, you brought up something I didn't even think about the potluck, the food, the baptisms and all of that kind of stuff. And you know, when you work with the kids, I mean, you work with them, but I wasn't even thinking about you cleaning them up and, you know, changing the other babies' diapers and all that kind of stuff.
Changing diapers, yeah.
So I don't know. That's a good question. It's a good question. I don't have that answer. I just don't know. My question is this. If that's a fear, why are the churches – it's just a question, and I'm not – and I know I'm going to get a whole bunch of slack on this. Why are we even opening up if we can't be who we are? Why even open up? It's just
right.
It's a question. You ain't got to answer, but why even open up? Why don't you just stay closed, stay at home until
okay,
when we
can
do
I,
open
can
up?
Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
The way I see it, you know, people are starving. They still want to not be in their homes. They want to get out. And if church is their outlet, then just let them go. Let them come. I mean, they may not be able to get the full effects, which I know you can't get the full effects. It was just being there, being in the presence of the Lord. It was great, even though you don't get the full effects. But, I mean, I don't
know.
So
let me ask you a question. And then again, I'm going to the food again, and I'm going to ask you the question. Your kid, your daughter is coming over for dinner, but you can't cook for her. Wouldn't you feel some type of way? She came all this way to see you, but you can't cook for her. And she's looking forward to getting a meal from you. But just seeing you, okay, hug. But every child want to go home and get mom's cooking. Every husband want to go home to get his wife's cooking. When you go to church, you want to get what you get because that's what you're used to. I can't go to church and not be able to worship freely. With rules, I can't do it.
Right.
And yeah, different from what I said. Yeah, I just can't do it. And I don't think me being a man of God, I don't think that I can go to church and put God on a limit. And okay, because now I'm putting God in a box. And when you put God in a box, it don't never work out well. It never works out well. And when people,
right.
The women, the issue. Of the blood, and I'm not trying to preach, but she went to touch him. Now, if we had the coronavirus back then, would she have been able to touch him? Would she have been able to make her way through the crowd to get to him? So what I'm saying is when people want to be baptized, are we going to have to go through all the hoops and the halas just to be baptized? It's just
right.
A question. I'm just throwing it out there. I ain't trying to – I don't have the answer. I ain't got a church either, but if I had one, we would be closed. And when we did open up, we would be back and forth, be back doing it the way that we were when we left. Because God ain't changed. People's changed.
Right.
Politicians changed.
Yeah, God ain't changed.
But God's word ain't never changed. So why are we going to change it now? Y'all sitting up there 6 feet apart from each other. And the Bible says where there's two or three gathered in his name.
Yeah.
And what else is it? Touch and agree? And that's not me. That's the book. That's the book. And that's just where I am on it. So for y'all preachers is going to be texting, I'm wrong for saying what I'm saying. Well, shut my church down. But when I do go back to church, I'm going back.
There's a scripture that says God is not the author of confusion, right? So do you feel that all this is going on in church? I'm just going to keep it in the church. It's confusion. I mean, don't it seem like confusion? Because we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Well, Brother Tim said it best. It is confusion. There's something more to this because you're taking the core value of what the gospel of Christ is out of the church.
Right.
If you can't
fellowship,
huh?
How do we proceed? How do we proceed? Like, how do we move forward?
Well, if I had that answer, you know, maybe we have a bigger house and a better car. I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know.
Have to continue to pray about it, yeah.
But my wife was different than it is right now. But right now that I see it, I'm like this. Either we serve the Lord the way we know to serve the Lord, and then I know people saying, you know, we got to use wisdom and knowledge and all this kind of stuff. You know, something my dad told me something, and it carries with me today. When I was going to seminar school, whatever it is. He said, don't become an educator. Don't let them folks trick you into believing something else that your God knows that you know your God can do, because it's going to be different. Now everyone is saying use wisdom and knowledge. My wisdom and knowledge is based upon what Christ did for me in my life. My wisdom and knowledge is what I see him with other people's lives. I can't go by what the doctor says, because the doctor said that I was going to die. It was a lie. I didn't die.
Amen.
But the Lord had the final say. So my wisdom and knowledge is a little bit different. People out here pushing for money and for be a celebrity and sit behind a desk and look all intelligent. But at the same time, okay, you're talking the right thing. But are you living the right thing? And me, I want to live the way has been doing it all 48 years of my life. I ain't been perfect 48 years, but the Lord has healed me. I got the scars to prove it. I got the trophies to prove it. I know I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. And because I know that, I march to a different beat than everybody else. So if y'all want to be 6 feet apart wearing masks and not touching, when the Bible says that two or three touch and agree, he is in the midst. If one can bring 1,000, two can bring 10,000. All right. But now we can't do that now. Go to church, everybody 6 feet apart.
Right.
And you got a whole pew to yourself. King hoop and holler. I'm done. And it's almost that time. But listen, Tim, I'm going to definitely have you back on Monday. We're gonna stay on the church. We're just gonna talk about some church stuff, church business. And
all right, okay.
We're gonna put you on the spot next week. You're gonna be my guest. And I just want to know what's wrong with the church. So I'm gonna put you on the spot. But while I got you here, I want you to advertise your Friday night show and your Saturday show.
Okay. All right. Well, first of all glory to the Most High. I really enjoyed this show. It was really very interesting, very enlightening. Made me think of some things and some things I'm about to go back and research. But I'm on Friday nights. That's going to be 10 p.m. East Coast time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 7 p.m. West Coast time. That's me, Tim the Overseer, and Big Tate Entertainment. And he's a good friend of mine. We've been knowing each other, I always say, ever since we were basically almost back since the time of diapers. So we've been knowing each other for a very long time. We'll be on, let's call our Freestyle Fridays. We'll be on every Friday night. And also I'll be back on the air Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. East Coast Time, and 4 p.m. West Coast Time. And that's called Spiritual Sense Life, where I come in and talk about the Bible. In fact, we just finished Revelation, the first chapter. I'll be doing a review on Revelation this week on the first chapter, and just some things that are going on in the world that's according to Revelation. And then the next following, we'll go into Revelation, the second chapter. And so that's my show. I also have a podcast on iTunes, which you can hear some of my past shows that I've already got on there recorded on iTunes, and I'm still working on some more things as far as social media. I do have a social media email address, which is tim@spiritualsenselife.com. Again, that's tim@spiritualsenselife.com.
All right. Now, you got that on Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. Also on Saturday, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I ain't going to get into West Coast. I'm going to mess that all up. With that being said, Ms. Kay, anything you want to say before we chime out?
The only thing I'm going to say is only what you do for Christ will last.
That's right.
Amen. It got you thinking now.
Oh, glory.
Got you thinking now. I know it do. Got me thinking. Tim, I want to thank
you.
I appreciate you coming on. And again, we're going to be doing a scholarship, Chaos Talk. He's going to be doing a scholarship. We're giving one scholarship out here in Atlanta. And my man Tim is going to be giving one out there in Texas. So we're going to be giving two scholarships out in two different states. I'm excited about that. That's going to be in August. Hopefully, we won't have to social distance when we do that. But we're going to go with whatever the law of the land say, I guess. But I'm going to do the Lord.
Right.
But with that being said, to all those
thank
that
you for having me, brother.
I want to say thank you again. Tomorrow night, Praise Tabernacle Church will be here at 7 p.m. Their Bible study. We'll be live right here on Blog Talk Radio. And with that being said, I think we're going to be out. So y'all have a good night. And again, until we meet again on tomorrow night, I just want to say thank you. And we are out.
Thank y'all for having me. Y'all be blessed.
Thank you.
All right, good night. You're welcome.
Good night.
I'll go to the Most High.